Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the ninth perek of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. So where we last left off was, Shmuel had been told by Hashem, yes, you can give the people a king. And then everybody went home. What's going to happen now? So now our story shifts into the private story of the life of a family of Kish. Kish is a fellow from Binyamin, who is a Gibor Chayil, we described as. So that means to say he's a very strong man, he's a good man. He comes from a few generations off of Binyamin himself. He has a son whose name is Shaul, and we're told about Shaul that he's a Bachur Vatov, he is a young man, he's good. V'ein ish mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu. There's no one better than him. That's a pretty good description when it comes to Tanakh giving descriptions to people. And if you've ever wondered where the term a head and shoulders above the rest comes from, it comes from this chapter where the pasuk describes him as Mishichma v'omaloi gavoa mikol ha'am. He was head and shoulders above the rest of the people. What happened was they were actually having a bit of a personal donkey issue. And that is they lost their she-donkeys. Kish lost his she-donkeys. And so Kish asks Shaul, go find them. So he goes with his lad, and they look in Har Ephraim. They didn't find them there. They went to Eretz Shaalim. They did not find it there. They went to the section of Binyamin. No donkeys to be found. As they're approaching the area of Tzuf, Shaul basically says to the young man who's accompanying him, his servant, he says, it's time to go back. My father's going to start getting worried. But while they're in this area, this young man says, wait a second, you know, maybe the Ish Elohim, there's a man of God who's going to be passing by here. Maybe we can ask him about the donkeys. And Shaul said, yeah, but wait a second, we don't have anything. We can't bring him a tribute. We can't bring him a gift or food or money or anything. So we can't really ask him. So very altruistically, the lad of Shaul says, don't worry, I have a quarter shekel kesef. We'll give it to him and let's just ask him. Maybe he'll be able to help us. So they try, they persist. They start looking towards the city where they believe that this Ish Elohim is going to appear. And they on the way up to the city, they bump into a whole group of girls. And they say, excuse us, could you just tell us where the Ish Elohim is going to be? And they give this long, drawn-out answer about tomorrow he's coming, and he's going to be coming, and you should go up, and quickly you should come, and tomorrow he's coming. And the Mefarshim point out that Shaul is very good-looking, and the girls really want to continue the conversation with him, which is why it is that they draw out this conversation. Nonetheless, in the end, they do get the directions from these girls, and they enter into the city and they're starting their way up looking for the bama, which is the sacrifice where they're going to be sacrificing, because remember there's no Mishkan right at this time, and they start looking for Shmuel the Ish Elohim. As we remember, Shmuel would circulate around Israel, so he wouldn't be in one fixed place. He'd go to different cities. This is one of the cities that he's going to, and he's sacrificing over here. So that's kind of one end of the story we're being told, and the narrator switches around and tells us from the other perspective that that while Shmuel was approaching, he actually had a message from God the day before saying that you're going to go and you're going to meet the potential king of Israel tomorrow. And as he sees this young man and his lad coming up, Hashem whispers in his ear that this is him. So in the meantime, now the two stories kind of meet. Shaul comes in and says, sorry, sir, if you could direct us to the man of God. And Shmuel immediately takes charge and says, I am the man of God. You're going to sit down, you're going to eat, and I'm going to tell you, I can tell you anything you want. And by the way, the donkeys that you are found, they've been found already. Don't worry. And you should not have to worry because you are Kol Chemdas Yisrael Ha'alo Lecha. All of the treasure of Israel is to you, Ulokol Beis Avicha, and to your father. That's a very, very pregnant phrase. It's got a lot of deeper meaning. And sensing that, Shaul says, whoa, wait a second. I'm from Binyamin, from the Katnei Shiftei Yisrael, the lowest of the tribes, and I'm the smallest family of the lowest of the tribes. Why are you speaking to me in these dark or these deep terms? Shmuel says, don't worry. In the meantime, he brings him in he ignores the comment, and he brings him in for the sacrifice. There's about 30 people there, and Shmuel gives Shaul the greatest cut of the meat, and puts it in front of him on the day of the festival, and they all eat. In the meantime, after coming down from the altar, they go up to the roof and they start and they talk on the roof, and the next morning, Shmuel calls up Shaul to the roof and says, I'm going to send you off out of town now. And as they start turning to leave, Shmuel says to Shaul, let your lad go ahead. I have something to tell you. And with that, that Perek ends. Shmuel's now about to tell him the secret of why it is that he chose him. And this is obviously going to be the Malchus, which is going to be starting in Perek Yud. Just a few things to focus on in this Perek. There's really a lot of interesting things going on over here. Number one is it seems like it's sort of almost like a very pedestrian type of story, you know, bumping into a very majestic type of story all at once. Meaning like, you know, after all, it's like, you know, it's like you lose your car keys and then suddenly, you know, you're like, you're suddenly being told that you're the, you know, the king. So what's really going on over here? It is interesting that the Mefarshim comment that in those days, as based on one of the psukim in this perek, in those days that people would go to the ro'eh, to the seer, for even very mundane and pedestrian questions, even like where are the donkeys, where did I put the car keys, or whatever else it was that was going on in life, which really gives you just a bit of a sense of the transformative nature of the leadership of Shmuel. Because we're told before Shmuel was in power that Ein Chazon Nifratz, there was no really prophecy in Israel. So I mean to say, in the short amount of time that Shmuel has been growing up and becoming a leader, within that amount of time, it's now turned to such a pervasive, a constant in society that people would even ask where their donkeys are from the seer, which really just gives us another a sense of how powerful the leadership of Shmuel has been. What we also notice interesting over here is that, you know, Shaul is really clearly not prepared for this at all. He sort of walks into this without any sense of this. He offers in his own defense that he comes from the smallest of tribes of Israel. And when he talks about Mekadnei Shivti Yisrael, he's really harking back on what we learned a few weeks ago about Pilegesh Begiva. And he's saying, look, you know, my tribe was all but destroyed just a few generations ago. You know, I'm the lowliest and despised of tribes. Why are you talking in these grand terms to me? Is his humility well put? Well, you know, on the one hand, yes, it is. It's very important for a leader to be humble. On the other hand, his humility is going to be later his Achilles heel, where he's maybe sometimes not prepared to exercise who he really is and put down his foot in certain circumstances. Let's say, we'll say later on, by the Korban, later on by Amalek, we'll see episodes where his humility may not be well-founded. There is one other point that is interesting, is that Shaul's introduction to Shmuel is an introduction of power. There's a power differential over here. The moment he introduces himself to Shmuel, Shmuel takes over the conversation and says, you know, I am the man of God. There are your donkeys. Your donkeys have been found. And it's almost as if Shaul doesn't even have any space to see Shmuel as a person. He just meets him as the man of God. And this is going to set up in motion a relationship under which Shaul is going to always be dependent on Shmuel. Shaul is going to always be trying to do what's best for Shmuel without being able to make his own decisions. We're going to see this later on, that even when Shmuel later on dies, Shaul's going to need to find the word of Shmuel even beyond death, there's an unhealthy aspect of this relationship. And this is set up in the way that Shmuel really introduces himself in this very powerful way to Shaul. We're going to see, because of Shmuel's, we'll call it the slight tinge of arrogance over here, the Radak quotes Chazal, that later on when Shmuel is going to anoint David, he's not going to know who David is. He's going to make a mistake later on. It's going to set up a very different dynamic between the prophet and the king. The prophet and the king over here, the king is very much subservient to the prophet, which may be exactly what Shmuel wants. Because after all, Shmuel did not ask for a king. The people did. So he's going to set up this dynamic in a way in which Shaul is going to be answerable directly to him. In the meantime, this sets us up for the monarchy itself, which will start tomorrow in chapter 10. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.